The Jazz Scene Podcast gives an in-depth look at the lives and stories of the musicians performing in Columbus and beyond. This episode features local multi-instrumentalist Derek DiCenzo. The Derek DiCenzo Quartet will kick off our community jazz season at the Long Street Studio on October 5th at 8 p.m. This performance will include Bobby Floyd, Reggie Jackson, and a few surprises.
Welcome, Derek DiCenzo. Thank you so much for being here. This is the inaugural community jazz portion of the Jazz Scene Podcast. You're our first 23-24 season artist. Thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure to be here, I guess. I think.
Tell us a little about yourself. Are you from Columbus originally?
Yes. My family basically is a Columbus family. I'm the last of eight kids, though. My dad was from Columbus, from the old Italian neighborhood. My mom, Polish, from the Polish neighborhood of Detroit called Hamtramck. And then they moved from Linden neighborhood to another house and then to Worthington. So I ended up going to, basically growing up in Worthington. And I went to St. Michael's, was an altar boy. And actually, that's where I got my first music gig experience, playing guitar masses. But yes, basically, I'd say I'm from Columbus.
And you grew up in a particularly musical household, right?
Yes. The main thing being my dad was a real jazz player. He was born in 26, so, you know, by the time about 1940, early to mid-40s, he was pretty good tenor sax player, mm-hmm. and clarinet, and... That was his thing for, you know, a decade or two until he had too many kids and too much pressure from mother-in-law and maybe wife to get a job. So he started
classic
doing,
story.
So then he did insurance for, you know, the next 30, 40 years and phased out of playing gigs. But also I had a few brothers that played music. Everybody played some and everybody loved good music. So 100% I was into... music like crazy and playing everything. And I started playing piano when I was about six and never stopped.
Cool. So you started on piano, I'm imagining,
mm-hmm.
and then guitar at some point and bass at some point. Do you mm-hmm. play anything else?
Yeah, I would say it was much piano and then guitar. And then suddenly, like, seeing my brother Alan being in this fusion-y jazz band, I wanted to play drums and electric bass and electric guitar and everything. And so I kind of started doing all of that, never thinking I would do it forever. I figured I was going to get out of high school and go to college and find some job.
Okay, how'd that go?
Well, it didn't go like I thought. By the way, the parents was like, "You're our last hope." I'm the last of eight kids. You're our last hope to have a priest or a lawyer or a doctor. That's what it was. It was a priest or a doctor.
Sure.
Well, anyway, so I ended up at Ohio State taking all kinds of liberal arts things, and ended up figuring out why not add some music stuff. So then I ended up getting into the jazz program.
Okay. So you started as, your intention wasn't music from the get-go.
No. I didn't think that was a career option.
Yeah, sure. Well, I'm glad you fell the right direction, I suppose, or the wrong one. I don't know.
No, See, it's one. It's both, I suppose.
Just because I want to mention it, you're a very good steel pan player as well. Correct. I consider you very good.
Yes. Pretty good.
Okay, great. And you, I heard
which
a rumor,
I want to do on this JAG TV episode.
Great, looking forward to it.
Yeah.
You have had many significant musical influences, I imagine. Is there anybody specifically, personally, that you admire, you admired, that you looked up to, especially when you were coming up?
Zillions of recording artists, but I suppose the main thing was my dad and my brother, especially my brother Alan, because he had that cool jazz. You know, when you're 11 and your brother who's 6 years older than you is a teenager and is playing with teenagers and older guys, and they have this cool jazz band that plays, like, I don't know, Birdland by Weather Report and Spyro Gyra and Crusaders. It was the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
And I, in fact, I'm not into gear at all, but at that time, I wanted like keyboards and I wanted speaker cabinets and PAs and stuff. I'd draw pictures of stuff. Like, I loved that. But fortunately, my dad had also played so much really good swing and jazz music at our house that was simmering in there.
You're like a culmination of both things, kind of, yeah.
Yeah, and also, cool. You know, pop music. Everybody in our house loved the Beatles and the Kinks. And so I had a lot of pop music that was very, very good that I still absolutely love now.
Yeah. You know, you've kind of answered it, but like, do you have a place you sock it yourself musically as a genre? Like when you were to describe to a non-listener what you sound like?
It's a complicated answer. So I kind of try to put off the question and just say, I play music. I try to play good music with good players. And most of what I play is jazz music. I make my living playing jazz music. But I just as soon play any instrument in some fantastic pop, whatever band, as play any specific instrument or non-specific. You know, I like playing good music. So basically, I guess I stumbled into a jazz career while never stopping playing everything else.
Sure. Yeah, you're like a prototype for a kind of, like, a character I have in my head for what a jazz musician should be. Like, there aren't very many of you left. You can do everything. You have done everything.
Well, big part of that is that I learned to play by ear. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to get all negative on formal education or jazz academia or anything like that. And I'm really glad I learned to read somewhat. But I mean, it's essential for a lot of the things I've done. But I think that because I learned to play by ear, it gives me a kind of a, you know, old person's perspective on jazz music.
Yeah.
Because when I was 12, I was, you know, scatting along with all the jazz stuff, like bebop stuff. I already knew how it sounded. I just didn't really know how to do it yet.
Yeah.
So that happened later.
Yeah, we talk a lot about like letting your ear lead you. You're like an example of a living example of that, which is exciting.
There, sometimes people will ask about a song from the radio in the 70s that I've never played. And I'll say, you know, I remember that song. I think I could play it.
Sure.
Because it was sinking in. And even though I didn't know what to call that 4 major 7th chord or whatever, I know what notes don't fit on that chord because I know that record, even just from the radio. So that still really does happen, and I'm very, very, very glad I learned to play by ear first, and very glad that my dad insisted I take some piano lessons and learn to read, and I started playing classical piano. Actually, for a minute, I thought I was going to play classical piano.
You know, we share that in common. I also thought that, but, you know, didn't work out for either of us, I suppose. Mm. Although I've heard you played at Dixton a handful of classical pieces.
Oh, I'm not letting any of that go. Mm-mm.
I played. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, well, okay, I'm not going to carry it away here talking about it, but I know it's very important to me. I would never lose my almost mastery of Clair de Lune you know, I play some good little ditties very well.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, I never got extremely accomplished at that. But sure. I'm not letting go of it. I'm play piano for the rest of my life, even if most of my stuff is jazz guitar, jazz bass. That's what I kind of do mostly, is play jazz guitar and jazz bass gigs.
Yeah, capable of more, but yeah, sure.
And especially with You Know Who.
Yeah, speaking of, you have, on this performance, you have some, what we would consider here at JAG, some special guests, some excellent performers. Can you talk a little bit about who your band's going
to
be?
Well, yeah, I you asked me to do this, and I'm like, well, I play with a lot of people. I'm not sure what to do, so I just aimed for the stars, and I got Bobby Floyd and Reggie Jackson to agree to play. Then I knew it was going to be really good almost no matter what happens. Yes. So yeah, I've been playing with Bobby Floyd forever, but definitely been his regular sideman for, you know, 20 or 25 years. When he plays Hammond organ, I play guitar. because he covers all the bass. But when he plays piano, I play bass. So on this thing, though, I'm not sure if I'm going to play both guitar and bass. I might. But I definitely want to play some guitar, and I definitely want to play some steel drum.
Cool.
And when you play with Bobby, you sound just better than ever. Like, that's true for pretty much everybody, I think.
Yeah, Reggie's not so bad either.
No, gosh, I'm not discounting Reggie. So, yeah, but we have a really good comfort zone, the three of us. So
this
should be easy.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Do you have tunes in mind? Do you have a kind of vibe you're going for?
Yeah, I've got you know, a go-to 10 or 20 songs that I'm really comfortable with playing steel drum. And mostly I just need to make sure Bobby is familiar with them. And so, you know, probably like, I don't know, maybe Point Siena as a bossa nova, and maybe, you know, it's hard to swung eighth notes on steel drum. For a few reasons. Steel drum's pretty difficult because of the way it's laid out and the sticking, and I'm, you know, ask your percussion experts. So there's going to be some straight eighth stuff, so I might try to swing a tune or two. You know, I can somewhat convincingly swing on a F blues.
Okay.
But so I'm not totally sure what all is on the set list.
Cool. So because you've been in the local scene for a long time, you have experience in all these venues and all these different places, some come and gone. Do you have any places that kind of still fill a special place in your heart, some places that maybe you miss from the past?
Oh, well, you know, right now my regular things are playing with Bobby Floyd on Sundays. We love Natalie's. I've been playing at Dick's Den for a long time, and it's a nice, super laid back place where I can get away with anything. So that's a huge one. Bygone places, I can't think of anything in particular. I guess there's always been enough places, you know. Like, for example, the Bobby Floyd weekend gig. Like, we've always had a weekend gig, and it was at the lobby for a while.
Okay.
On Saturdays. It was really, really fun, Saturday afternoon to evening. I'm very glad Dick's Den is still there. I think I snuck into Dick's Den before I was 21 and watched Joe Diamond, Roger Hines, Joe Wong, Joe Hunter, and just thought, this is the coolest place ever. I'm going to play here someday.
From what I understand, that happened from us to you for many of my colleagues as well. You know, there's something magical about that place. What about Dick's? What about it being laid back? What about it is different than elsewhere? We don't have to have a Dick's.
That it's very casual, and a lot of people come in there that may or may not be huge jazz fans, and they. Sometimes there's no cover, sometimes there's a small cover, and if the band is cool, it proves that, like, good music is good music, and people don't have to know anything about jazz to like it. Whereas if people are spending 20 or 40 or $1 million on a ticket to go see something at a concert hall, there's a different expectation. So that's a very cool thing about that place and other similar places.
Yeah.
But believe me, I did a lot of great shows with the Jazz Arts Group at Battelle Hall and Rife Center and Great Southern. I mean, I've done a lot of concerts, and I've played some big concert halls and done some touring. It's not my goal to play every night in a bar.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it's nice to make a lot of money in a big hall, for sure.
Yeah.
Are there any musicians locally that you consider mentors?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, a huge one is of course Bobby Floyd. I don't want to. I haven't thought about this. I should have tried to make a list of this. You know, a big one is Dave DeWitt, because he, like me, learned how to play by ear. He plays like a. The way I describe him, and it's kind of silly, but it's like he was in the jungle, and there was a grand piano there, and he was raised by Tarzan and whoever, but. He plays really, really someone who is hearing and playing what he's hearing and not thinking so much and playing by ear, certainly. So he's a big one. When I'm playing like piano, okay, when I'm playing guitar trio, let's say, and I have a bass player and a drummer, I'm sort of trying to do my poor man's version of Dave DeWitt and Bobby Floyd, and also Monty Alexander, but he's not local, but I toured with him, and definitely when I play piano, I've got Monty Alexander on the brain, and not that it comes out with the same results, but I guess those guys are a couple of the big ones. There's another 50, but...
Okay, great, thanks. Okay, left turn. What advice do you have for musicians who want to start learning jazz?
Listen to jazz music, okay? Listen to jazz music. You cannot just pursue jazz as, another option in studying music. Just listen to jazz music. It's not cheating to listen to jazz music and rip off everything you're hearing on those jazz records. I like the word records because that's what I listened to in the 70s and 80s. But it's not cheating to listen to jazz music and steal it all. And then you're using your ear, and then that makes you a useful musician to play with because you can react to your musician cohorts. So, of course, do all the work you can do and study. And I'm glad I learned to read a little bit, but listen to jazz music and sop it up and steal it all. And then maybe you're going to get so into it that you're going to hone your sound until you actually have your own sound, which I'm not even sure if I still have my own sound yet or ever will. But I keep stealing from everybody. So that's my advice. Listen.
Yeah, I love that. I've heard jazz is the unsuccessful performance of memorized material.
Mm. Okay.
I don't know if it's... Yeah, but it's nice in that way. It's like listening is the number one thing, and it's the biggest thing.
It definitely is. Yeah. Definitely is. My best experiences are playing with people that have great ears, okay?
Yeah, and as somebody who's played with you, it's nice to play with somebody who's listened to the record I'm trying to emulate more than I have. It's amazing.
Good.
Okay, so you've got Bobby and Reggie coming. You're going to play an assorted selection of things.
Yeah, I may have somebody else, especially if there's going to be some, bass, drums, piano, and me. Because I don't know if it makes sense for me to switch to bass. Although, of course, we'd be featuring Bobby on piano, so that does make sense. But I don't know. I might have somebody else come in, but it might just be the three of us.
Cool. Okay.
It's probably going to be at least four. I'll come up with I have a couple ideas for maybe horn players or I don't know. Wow, I'll let you know very
that's
soon.
That's exciting, yeah.
No. It's coming up.
Is there anywhere we can listen to your music right now?
I don't have a website. I don't know what's on the that somebody made me a MySpace. No, sorry. I did have a MySpace page. Somebody made me a Facebook music page that I never look at.
I noticed that.
I have nothing to do with it. So
a cursory
Google. You mean online? Yeah. Go to my regular Facebook page. I have some stuff there, but it's not particularly selected as here's the best stuff.
I found a couple of Mug and Brush with your trio with Max and
good.
Nate. Yeah,
that's me and Nate Smith and Maxwell Button, and we do a song called The Frog, and we do a song called Jitterbug Waltz. Mm-hmm. Those are good.
Yeah, they're great. And I found a bunch of stuff, but mostly not as high quality as that. Not that the music was bad.
No, I know. I need to make a record and have a website.
Cool.
Maybe this Jack TV, maybe this is going to be it. We'll see.
I feel like you've gotten by long enough without it.
Well, I like being a helper.
Yeah. What are you on an album with Monty Alexander?
Yes. I think on two or three.
Okay.
The first one I did with him, I played mostly steel drum. and because he had done a couple records called Ivory and Steel, and wanted to do another record with steel drum. And he met me because he came here to play with what was called the Jazz Arts Group and is now called the Columbus Jazz Orchestra, because he wanted to do, they wanted to bring him in, Ray Eubanks, to do a Nat King Cole, King Cole trio type feature. And Ray said, I think I got a guy to play guitar with you. Monty wanted to bring one of his acoustic bass players. And so we did that, and then he started hiring me for stuff. Cool. And then within, I don't know, a couple years, I had done some gigs with him on guitar, I think was on steel drum. But I remember I played steel drum for him over the phone, like telephone.
Yeah.
And said, you know, I've been really getting into the steel drum stuff. And I played some for him, and I think his eyes lit up and thought, now I've got the same guy I can underpay for guitar and steel drum. And that worked out. So okay, it really did work out like that. But I did end up going and doing that first record with him, steel drum, and I did some guitar later. And also there's a record, he's from Jamaica, and he at some point thought it would be a good idea to do a Bob Marley record, and it was a combination of reggae plus jazz, straight ahead jazz versions of Bob Marley. And I'm on that record too. Boy, did I get way better because I had to going on the road with Monty Alexander. That was a huge step in my growth.
Sure. It feels like you could say lesson number two for budding musicians is be more prepared than you could possibly imagine needing to be.
And try to play with good people.
Yeah, right, play with good people. Yeah.
You know, if you're the youngest person in the band, that might be a good sign that you're gonna get better. Play with the old guys like me.
Yeah. Thanks so much for chatting with us, Derek.
Okay.
anything you want to add about the concert? We're looking forward to it. It is on October the 5th, Thursday, at Long Street Studio, which is right on Long Street, in the back of the Roosevelt Coffee Shop.
Well, I hope some people come.
Me too.
It's a pretty big room, and there's no admission, right?
Correct.
So yeah, so it'll be a nice time. But I don't have a set list yet. Assuming nothing changes, I've secured Bobby Floyd and Reggie Jackson, and so that took the pressure off me. There was no more urgency to like come up with a genius plan, because I could probably like hibernate until October 4th and wake up and it would be okay.
Absolutely.
No, don't worry. I'm working on it.
Great. Looking forward to it. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you all on the 5th.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you, Derek. All right.
Thank you for tuning in. Our theme music is titled 3-4 Times by Michael Cox. This episode was co-produced and hosted by Alex Burgoyne. Mercedes Aviles is the co-producer and audio engineer.